So the big question is this: how are real estate investors who don't have a ton of free time, don't have access to off-market deals, and didn't start life on third base, how do we grow a real estate business conservatively to support our families, finally leave the corporate rat race, and build a legacy? That is the question, and this podcast will give you the answers. I'm Ed Matthews, and this is Real Estate Underground.
This is the Real Estate Underground podcast show number 25.
Hey everybody, Ed Matthews here with the Real Estate Underground. Welcome to our latest show. I am joined by my friend, partner, and mentor, Mr. Richard Brown. Hello, sir. How are you?
I am doing well. How are you doing today, Big Ed?
Life is good, sir. Life is good. Today is a really cool show. It's somebody that we've been chasing for quite some time, someone that Rich and I both have a ton of respect for, and he is a guy by the name of Brandon Rush. Brandon, welcome to the show. Thank you for making time and good to have you.
Yeah, thank you guys. Thanks for having me. Super excited.
Yeah, we are too.
We are indeed. So Brandon, we're going to jump right in it. People may not know the Brandon Rush story. And I'll tell you, I love the Brandon Rush story. So why don't you just share with people a little bit about who you are, where you are, and what the future holds for you?
Yeah, sure. So I'll do the quick. I was born in Jamaica, Queens, no, but I wasn't born in Actually, I was born in Queens, New York, born and raised, good upbringing. My family was really good to me. No complaints there at all. Been very active my whole life. Always kind of been a mini entrepreneur since the young age. Always wanted to find a way to make money, you know, whether it be packing bags at the supermarkets or shoveling snow, whatever it was that can give me my power to have that little bit of money in my pocket. I was on it.
Right.
Fast forward a bit, went to school. Worked in technology. Actually, a lot of people don't know, I trained to be a veterinarian up until I was about 22, 21. And then I changed gears in college where I decided I don't want that kind of debt and I don't really want to go to school for too much longer. I had my fun for the 4 years. So switched to technology. And for the past, I would say 12, 13 years, I've been working in technology, everything from level one support rolled up into a director of tech at school district. So that's kind of been my career path since I was born. In terms of real estate, I got started with, long story short, I was reading a book, I believe it's Chip and Joanna Gaines, A Magnolia Story, on a plane one day. And it talked about Chip buying houses on the street for no money down. And it just clicked within 3 hours of me reading that on that plane to Peru. I said, you know what? This is something we need to do. This is what we need to do. I need to research this more when we get back to the U.S. and figure out what he's doing, because I think I finally figured out what's going to get us there. That's not going to be packing bags or shoveling snow. This is going to be that thing that gets us there, because I've done a few ventures in my life that I wouldn't say I failed, that I've learned from, such as like trying to start a small business or leaving my job when I was younger at 21. But that's how I got started in real estate. And since then, we've acquired 3 properties. The first being a 3-family New Britain. We actually had a single family in Danbury for 6 years. We started there. We weren't familiar with real estate or anything when we got into the house. We just did we got the jobs, we got the house, we got the cars, you know, our kids next, is a dog next, you know, we were kind of living that life. And it just hit me after reading that book on the plane. Then it kind of trickled into other rich dad, poor dad, all that stuff. And then it's just a complete mind shift. And once you see the light, you cannot turn back. So from that moment on, we decided we had to get rid of the finances. That was our very first move, is not to buy multifamily or any real estate at all. Let's decrease the expenses. So we paid off the cars, school debt. And then the next step was, how can we decrease that even more? And then we moved, you know, we said, we got to sell the house. That's, you know, $1,500 a month. What can we do if we have $1,500 more a month? We said, we could buy a 3-family and get rid of that immediately. So that's what we did. 6 months later, we sold.
Wow.
In Danbury, our first 3-family in New Britain. My wife and I thank her so much for accepting that, which many wouldn't.
Yeah,
and that's
married well.
That's kind of how we started.
Yeah, you married nice. Well. Son.
She's good to me. We're good to each other.
Yeah, yeah. So let's talk about your focus today. You've gotten into multifamily. Last count, how many units have you acquired so far?
10 units over 3 buildings.
All right, excellent. And so where are you taking your business? What's the next 3 to 5 years look like?
Sure. So I guess I have a different outlook than a lot of other investors. A lot of investors kind of want to acquire fast. I've just learned to take life slow, to be honest. And it's really one step at a time for me, I've learned, because it's just, I'm not in any rush. I put myself in a place now where I don't feel like I need to rush so much. So the next few years, there's 3 parts to it. We will continue to house hack, just because I can never see myself paying a mortgage again until my assets are paying it for me. So I can't go back to a house. We will be continuing to house hack for the next couple of years until the assets are covering the debt. The second phase of that is I'm an agent. So growing my agent business and helping investors is what I'm looking to do kind of for my work or my earned income, I guess you could say. And the other half of that is scaling into larger multifamily. We're in the smaller space right now. One thing I have learned through books like Who Not How is learning to leverage other people's skill sets. So that's what I'm looking to do right now is find team members rather than doing it the hard way and trying to figure it all out myself. So I see myself scaling into larger multis. But again, I'm just kind of going with the flow and taking it slow. I have fun every day, so I don't really want to not enjoy my day to day.
Right. Well, I mean, that's the luxury that you've bought, right? Is that not only have you reduced your expenses, but you've also significantly increased your income. Yep. In terms of the multifamilies and the rent that those provide. And now you're an agent as well, and that money's going to start to flow. You've set yourself up pretty well. So congratulations on that. This is what freedom feels like, right?
Yeah. It's starting to feel good.
Excellent.
Brandon, I just got to ask. I know, because we know each other, I know that you actually chose to walk away from corporate and go full-time into real estate.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about the courage it took to do that.
Oh, all right. It took, I won't go deep into it, but I wouldn't say it's one person or one thing. It's just a collection of things that allowed me to kind of push me over the edge. It was a combination of me surrounding myself with others who are full-time, seeing that they're doing okay, that they are alive and they're not on the street homeless. It took me through my mastermind to see that these people are investing. They have my back. I have people that have my back. If I get into trouble in terms of decision-making, they would be able to guide me in the right direction. And lastly, you know, I got to tell my wife in the end, I could only live in my parents' house. So I'm that type. I will do whatever's necessary to make this work. So it's a combination of those three. And the last was just overall coaching from some really good people who I've met over the last, you know, I haven't been doing this for long, but the last year has really pushed me to tell me that you can do this and there's nothing to be afraid of. The worst thing that could happen is I end up back at work is, you know, really what it comes down to. So.
Right on.
Yeah.
That's it. So I have my own biases, but from your perspective, what separates people like you and your wife, Catherine, and, you know, the folks that read the books, but don't necessarily get into this business, right? You know, Rich and I call them the dreamers, right?
Sure.
So what separates you from those folks? We meet them all the time.
I would say it's two parts for me personally that I see or believe is your why, which is the reason why you're getting into this. If you don't know your why from the start, all it's going to take is one issue to kind of make you not ever want to do it again. I've been through, even though we don't own a significant, not a large portfolio, just the little bit we have, there's some situations we've been in that'll turn away a lot of people who, if you didn't have a why, you just wouldn't be able to handle it.
Right.
So you got to have your why, you know, and your why does not have to be, I want to cure world cancer, or I want to, you know, a lot of people, my why is simply control of my time in life. Ever since a kid, you know, being kind of stuck in a classroom and then going to corporate, stuck in that office, and then, you know, my 9 to 5 and not being able to enjoy life drove me crazy every single day to the point where I am now, where I have that time back in control. I don't mind working, but, you know, as long as it's kind of on my clock, I am willing to work as hard as it takes.
Right.
The second component I would say is comfort. A lot of us, we get to a point in life where I started a little late in my 30s. You know, some people start in their 20s and investing and they kind of have experience and they're ready to get going. But some people start their careers and they get used to having a house and a nice car and all the things that a lot of people normally do. But they get to a certain point where they find out about investing. And it's a point in life where they have to decide to pivot. Am I going to give up some of these luxuries and get rid of some of this comfort? Or do I continue with this comfort and see what happens? And it's very hard to get into this if you're comfortable because there's no real reason to get out of it. So for me leaving my job was one of the biggest uncomfortable things I've done, but I knew it was necessary for me to put a fire under my butt and get moving on life. So those are my two, comfort and your why.
As they say, man, you burned your ship.
That's it.
So you also mentioned something that I think is key, and I promise this isn't self-serving, though it may sound that way.
Sure.
You mentioned coaching. You said that one of the things that you have, why do you feel you need a coach?
Because it's a lot of experience consolidated into a handful of individuals who can speed up that timeline. One thing I've always kind of said, you can learn through time or you can learn through money. I have paid for coaches in the past, just through personal efforts, and I believe it's well worth it because if you don't pay for it, you're going to pay for it in time through experiences, through making mistakes. And it's fine to go that route, but it's the hard route to go. And it's almost the unnecessary route to go nowadays when there's so many coaching opportunities, you know, such as I've never been through Citarias, but I know you guys have a coaching opportunity. I know many of you people who come to my meetup who've been through your coaching program. So you can go through that and learn and speed up your timeline, or you can do it the hard way, which I did initially, and which I still enjoyed because I've learned to appreciate, you know, what I have from my experiences. But coaching speeds up your timeline. You get experience with those who have it, who had it. You avoid the potholes. You move a bit faster.
Let's talk a little bit more about that. So the coaches and mentors that you've had, I'm sure they've given you excellent advice. What's the best advice you ever got? And frankly, who gave it to you? And it can't be Rich Brown. No, I'm kidding.
Oh, man. This is a good one. I should have knew. I'm going to run with the advice that Ed gave me. I'm going to run with that. Ed gave me advice on start local and focus. When I started, and I'm still in that phase a little bit, I was looking in, you know, I'm in Connecticut, so I was looking at Bristol, New Britain, Manchester, New Haven, like all over the place. And really, when you work in that manner, it's you're very scattered and you never have focus. You just never focus. Opportunity you miss. So just learning to focus and narrow it down, start small, grow that a bit. Example, I'm in Portland, Connecticut. Maybe I find a multifamily here or a flip here. Get that, build the funds, expand your marketing, pick a new town. A little bit of time. Again, there's no rush in life. You know, all it takes is a couple of houses to change your life, to be honest. A couple of multifamilies will change your life if you think about it in the long term. So start small, focus, and grow yourself outwards over time, but do not try to take on the world. Some people can. I want to say don't, but for the average person, start small, focus, expand out from there.
Love it. Yeah. So
awesome.
So what made you decide to be an agent? Why an agent? And how do you think that you'll be able to help folks through that mechanism?
I first knew I was going to be an agent. It's weird. When I was selling my single family home, I was sitting down with my agent and I was like, how come he's not asking me this question? How come he's not concerned about this with me? How come? And all the questions that I would myself ask somebody if I were helping them buy an asset that's, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars, he wasn't asking. So from there, I said, you know what? I'm going to get that agent license one day. And I did pick it up. I genuinely just enjoy helping other people understand this space, especially the, you know, newer people. And I just love the nitty gritty of someone who's already in it looking to expand. Like I'm working with a 1031 buyer in Southern Connecticut right now. And just being able to experience how this guy owned a gas station in New York and he's selling that asset for several million dollars. And now he's looking to grow. Now I get to see all aspects of that. So for me, it's helping others, but also getting that experience from other seasoned investors that I just get to see transactionally, operationally, you know, kind of all facets of multifamily and commercial investing.
It's That's amazing awesome. What you learn by doing deals, isn't it?
Yeah. Yep.
All kinds of deals.
Yep.
So you mentioned a couple of books earlier on, the Magnolia story. I thought we were about to talk about Shiplap, so I'm grateful that we didn't get didn't go down that path. And the, you know, obviously the Purple Bible, Rich Dad Poor Dad, right? So I'm curious right now, in terms of your growth and how you're expanding your own knowledge, are you a reader? Do you listen to books? Are you a podcast person? And if so, you know, what are you listening to or what are you paying attention to?
I'm big on mindset. I spend every morning, I listen to a short, maybe 10 to 20 minute meditation or mindset based program just to kind of get my day started. And it absolutely works for me. It starts you off on the right foot, relaxes you and makes you think positive. And it, you know, you give gratitude to everything that you have. From that, book wise, I read books that are top of mind, things I need to focus on right now. You know, like right now I'm reading the book Sold by David Green. And it's basically kind of like the initial book for agents, which I highly encourage any starting agent to read. And it really gives you like the core principles of what you need to do to become a successful agent, what habits you need to start off with to be a successful agent. I'm an audible guy. Time is crucial now, so I cannot sit down and read a book. My day goes from 6 a.m. till 9 p.m. and sitting down and reading a book is very hard. So I do a lot of mobile university. Right. Whenever I'm in a car, there's no music. It's just audiobooks or podcasts. I just keep it going.
Excellent. Excellent. The other book that I always had a lot of respect for was Gary Keller's Million Dollar Real Estate Agent.
Yes.
It's an outstanding book. And actually the investor version of that is equally good. Hmm. The Million Dollar Real Estate Investor.
Yeah. The investor book, I would highly encourage that anyone who's new or just needs a refresher to read the Gary Keller Millionaire Real Estate Investor. It's like the fundamental, it's just like Rich Dad Poor Dad in a sense, but it is the fundamental real estate investor book everyone should read in the beginning just to understand how it works from the core without all the fluff. This is real estate.
Yeah, right between the eyes, right?
Yep.
Buying investment real estate is both thrilling and sometimes stressful. Without a lending expert by your side, most investors don't stand a chance. That's where CT Rea Funding comes in. CT Rea Funding was founded by investors to help investors just like you fund their deals. Whether you're buying a single family rehab, an apartment building, or really any investment property, our team will understand your deal and help you close quickly. Go to ctreiafunding.com or call us at 860-876-0572.
So, Brandon, one of the things I'd love for you to talk about, as I've known you, you've always been a very easy to approach person. You've always been someone willing to share your knowledge. I know you started a little meetup group. What was the concept behind that? And what are your plans for it?
The meetup, it's some of those tips that people give you. And you just say, you know what, I need to just do what they tell me to do. So in a lot of podcasts, they said, hey, start a meetup. I told my wife, hey, we should just start a meetup. So it started off with the two of us and one person showed up out in Glastonbury, Connecticut. Next thing you know, a few months later, got too big for the first floor. We moved to the second floor. It got too big for that floor. Then we moved to another building. Now we're in New Britain. And it's really evolved. At first, we were just kind of meeting up and just kind of a, you know, social scene. But then I understood the value of, through seeing CT Rea's, you know, I'm at almost every CT Rea meeting. So seeing the value that you have through education with some of these speakers coming versus just, you know, drinking and socializing, I figured there's a lot of value to that. So I figured, you know what, let's start a meetup and let's also start to bring in some people who can bring value to the group, you know, who can feel like they came here and they got something out of it. So that's, now we're bringing in presenters. We host it once a month and it's presenters. They can be local. They could be people from my mastermind. We've had some. It's really anything that's kind of top of mind that's current and would be useful to investors nowadays. So we had a syndicator come through. We had a flipping conversation. We had lending conversation. We had a house hacking conversation. Some of the presentations may be me speak. I did the house hacking presentation for the group, which actually turned out to be a really successful meetup. And growing it, I don't know where it's going to go. I'm just grateful that it is where it is. It's a lot to think about and figure out, like, next steps. So I'm just kind of going where the water flows with that. And just, I'm going to give the people what they want. We'll see. I don't know the answer to that one, where it's going. I'm just having fun with it and giving the people what they want.
Yeah, but half the fun of it is the journey, right?
Yeah. Yes. Yes, for sure.
It's an adventure. I'm curious about, you know, one of the deals that you did. Can you walk us through one of your favorite deals and how'd you find it and how did you evaluate it? Why did it pique your interest?
Sure. So I'm actually going to speak on the first deal because that's, for a lot of people, that's the hardest to get into. For us, it was as well. That was our three family in New Britain. We had our single family, and like I said, in Danbury that we had. So the first part, for those looking to get into this who currently live in a single family, we had to write a letter to the bank stating why we were leaving a single family to move into a three family 60 minutes away when we would be working 60 minutes away from the new three family. So it was a whole thing with the bank because, you know, it looks like mortgage fraud. You know, it looks like that we're just trying to get an investment property and say we're going to live in it, but we're not. But we truly were going to live in it. So I had to write a long letter. It was literally a page long stating that I am in this. I am committed. We are selling this house. I need to get rid of these expenses. And they took it. So to find that deal, it was an MLS deal. You know, that's another thing I know people talk about deals and, like, you know, you got to find a deal off market, so on and so on. But if you're just starting out, there's nothing wrong with starting with an MLS deal. You learn so much from the first property. It's worth paying the money for. And you're still going to benefit from everything else any other investor benefits from.
Absolutely. Deals are out there today, right?
Yeah. Yeah, people are missing them. They're just completely skipping the MLS and looking for off market. So we, you know, had the house in Danbury. We went into this crazy bidding war on this house. This place, somehow the agent listed it for $220 in New Britain. We ended up, long story short, we ended up offering $280 because that's what the comp said. And I'm like, either something's completely wrong on our side or something's completely wrong on the other side. Luckily, that's what it was worth. So we didn't, like, do too crazy. And it's funny, with that property, we actually didn't get it at first and we skipped over it. And I went to look at another three family somewhere else, a fire property, because we thought we were going to do a FHA 203K. And they called us back and said, hey, this New Britain property is back on the market if you guys want it. And I did not take it. And we said, no, we're pursuing this firehouse. And luckily, the firehouse didn't work out. We were like, oh my God, we just lost an opportunity back in New Britain. What the heck? But we said, how about we just call that agent just to see where they are with that property, just in case. So we reached back out and they said, well, you know, we're having an issue with the first floor tenant signing an estoppel or something along those lines and the buyer doesn't want it. So we lucked out and said, we'll take it if it's still available. Same offer, 280, normal closing terms, whatever. And they accepted. So we got in. That was our first house hack. We had a vacant third floor unit. That was our first dabble in real estate. And it wasn't a hard, it was a learning curve, you know, in terms of buying your first multi and all the jitters of my lease. And
right. What
do I do about this? But we just said, you know what, let's just get the place first and then we'll figure everything out afterwards. And that's how we ended up in our first deal.
That's great. Congratulations.
That's a great story, man.
The fact is that you alluded to this earlier, there's a snowball effect, right? Once you get that first deal in, you get the taste for the deal, right? You get that taste in your mouth. You're like, I want more. But the other part of it is that it starts to free you up financially and creatively to be able to, and it takes away some of that initial fear that you probably had. I tell people all the time, my hand shakes at every closing table. And that is true. It shakes less and less every time though.
I think that's a great story. And I guess to follow up, what I would say is, what would you tell someone who is thinking about getting in real estate? They haven't quite figured out how to start or where to get started. What piece of advice would you give them?
To be honest, and I thought about this one, I would say start small. Some people know what they want. Some people have the mind, they have operational background, or they just know how to acquire larger assets. That's just a thing. You don't have to be that person. Just start with a duplex, even a single family, if it comes down to it. Start small, learn from that experience. There's so much you're going to learn from that one experience that'll teach you about property management, about bookkeeping, about tenant management. And then you'll figure out what you enjoy and what you don't enjoy. You may jump into a 10-unit building and figure out you absolutely hate it. You know, you spent all your money just because the guy next to you bought one. Now you want to buy one, you know. So if you're not sure, start small. Single, duplex, triplex, 2 to 4 unit, pick it up, learn from it. And I promise you, your mind will open up to what's possible afterwards. And you'll be able to call yourself an investor, which is like...
You're instantly interesting at dinner parties, right?
Yes.
Great advice.
So before we get too far away, Brandon, I want you to plug your meetup. When and where do you meet?
The meetup is on the third Thursday of every month. Currently, it's at Belvedere Restaurant in New Britain, Connecticut. And it's called the NEI Real Estate Investor Meetup, which is Network Educate Invest Meetup. And it's free to the public. Come through. They have some good Polish food and it's a good time.
Awesome. Never have too much kielbasa.
Well, man, listen, this has been a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I hope you enjoyed it as much as we enjoyed it. Thank you so much for the nuggets. They're very helpful. I'm going to have to, as I said, when you made it public, dude, you got to bring me a deal.
For sure. No, definitely. Yeah, for sure.
And as long as I'm second on that list, we're good too.
Thank you guys so much. Literally, I started driving up to see Sharia when I was living in New Britain, Connecticut. When I was living in Danbury, I was driving here an hour every meeting and networking and learning and stealing tips from Ron, which helped me build up my my lease from listening to his tidbits and getting everything from you guys. And I still to this day follow the golden rule, don't pick up the phone. So every time I see that phone ring, Ron is the first person I think about when the tenant's calling. he's on the phone. But thank you guys so much for everything you taught me, you know, leading up to now and moving forward with the opportunities you guys will bring.
We're just happy that you're doing as well as you're doing. And it's rising tide floats all boats, right? It's good to see you and Catherine and folks like you guys doing well. So one last question. So if someone wants to get in touch with you about a deal or they're looking to sell something or looking to buy, what's the best way to get in touch with you?
I would say two ways. On Facebook, probably through Messenger. My kind of tag or whatever you want to call it is Rush DPI. That's R-U-S-H. D as in dog, P as in Paul, I as in the letter I. Or you can hit my website, DartmouthPI.com. So Dartmouth is in the school, the two letters P-N-I.com.
Outstanding.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Brandon Rush.
All right, guys. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. I will see you around.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
This has been the Real Estate Underground Podcast, a CT REIA presentation. Don't forget to rate, subscribe, and share this podcast with your friends. If there's a specific topic you want us to cover, post it in the comments. For more information on the Real Estate Underground Podcast or CT REIA, go to realestateundergroundpodcast.com or ctrea.com. Until next time, happy investing.